now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is it about the running back position then?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And off, coming left. Touchdown! CMC!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Well, Christian McCaffrey got a two-year contract extension, a two-year contract extension averaging $19 million a year. Oof. It still sounds low.
Earlier on the show, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on our program. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated is going to chime in about 15 minutes' time. Boy, we're just going to go deep with him because there's so many questions, so many teams that are in action today. Also have my power rankings. I've got my best case scenarios for the AFC East. Hour number three at present, North. We've got hour number three wide open right now. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their spots. TJ Jefferson in his spot. One of the things I love about this show is callers call in and they react to stuff that we're talking about, or they hear how we have certain conversations in these parts and want to, you know, give us something else to chew on, similar to what we normally talk about. When Larry David is here, we talk about social situations all the time, and he's the arbiter of what's right and what's not right. And we just had a caller from Baltimore calling, a fellow named Yusuf, who said that he saw when he walked into his building at 10 o'clock at night, a takeout box in the lobby. And he says there's never a takeout box in his lobby. It was a complete outlier. And of course, I mean, do you think he went up to it thinking it was smoking or something like that, just to see what the hell was in this thing?
Like, what is this?
But he saw it was a smoothie bowl that had been unclaimed based on the receipt that he saw in there 4 hours that it arrived. It was ordered at 6 o'clock and it had arrived and been there for 4 hours. Wanted to know if it was okay for him to take. Certainly since he said he was a food safety guy, which I've never heard. That sounds like something Del Tufo would call himself, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a big food safety guy.
I am. I am.
Whatever.
You know, and Brockman came up with it. So, of course, I always ask follow-up questions, you know? Like when Larry said that, you know, you don't even go to a destination wedding, and I asked him how far from his house would he consider the point of no return to go attend a wedding? And he said an hour and a half by car. So in that same vein, I asked Yusuf, like, you know, like, how long do you think something can sit out there before you can lay claim to something that's clearly not yours? And is 4 hours too, you know, long enough? You said 1 hour, Chris, which I think is still, you know, that's fast. That's a quick trigger finger.
Saying, if you're like expecting a delivery, you're looking out for it.
But things can happen.
Clearly, like what?
Now you have to run out. You got to do something.
An hour, though. No, an hour.
An hour is too long.
Here's something
you
for
said
you.
Then two, and in the same vein that I said I love when people call in, David in Orlando, Florida wants to chime in on this subject matter. I love how things begin to cascade on a show like this. What do you got over there, David? What do you have?
Well, I don't mean for it to cascade out of control.
But?
But not very long ago, in the apartment building that I'm in, knocking the door in the evening.
Yes.
Not terribly late. But I look at my roommate, and we exchange glances. Neither one of us know why someone's knocking at the door.
Yes.
Neither one of us had ordered anything.
Okay.
Go to the door. There's a bag of, I'll exclude the brand name, unless you want it.
No, it's okay.
McDonald's.
Okay.
Okay.
Thought he was excluding
like
that.
A large, like a family, like
the bigger bag, the family size bag,
like like with the carry handle, the entire like. The
so
whole
you're saying it's food for like for more than just two people. You're saying okay. So this has been in
at our doorstep.
Yes.
And so now, and of course, by the time I'd gotten to the door, whoever had dropped it off was long gone. So now I've got no recourse.
Oh, so it was a drop and run? It was a drop and run?
Drop and run.
Sort of like leaving, like the stork left something on your doorstep, is what you're saying? The McDonald's stork?
There. Because we didn't order it, so there was no notification other than the knock on the door. There's no, we can't contact the driver.
Sure.
And, you know, years of, you know, I had 20 plus years in the restaurant industry. That even if I could contact the driver, they can't take it back. You know, that's true. Food that's been delivered.
Were there nuggies in the bag?
This guy.
There was it everything in the bag.
But it doesn't matter what's in the bag. So what? So did you adopt the bag? Did you take it in?
And well. Yes.
Yes. What else are you going to do? Okay.
What could he do?
I mean, what else can you do? It was freshly delivered. It was still piping hot.
Hot fries.
You know, and some of the favorites were in there. So,
favorites.
But it wasn't the receipt that was, you know, what's common now, taped over the exterior of the bag, addressed to our front door. So what else can you do?
I don't know. David in Orlando, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, people,
what's going on in apartment life these days, man?
All right. The poll is out at Rich Eisen Show. Please chime in or call us, obviously. If you live in an apartment building and see a food delivery and it's been unclaimed for a few hours,
all right,
do you take it or leave it?
All right.
Vote now.
Let me hit that with the old.
Please vote now. It's overwhelmingly leave it right now, 88%.
Let me tell you what happened to me once. Nice. I got back home from
the dirt bags
working
at?
Out of town on the show, right?
Yes.
I get home. It's late. I'm hungry. I ordered some food. I hopped in the shower. I came out. I sat down on the couch, and I passed out. Fell asleep, right? Missed the delivery. Now, you're like, why didn't they pick it up? Well, there's an example. I just gotten in from like a week-long work trip and just fell asleep.
And would you be sad if someone had taken your delivery in the morning and you get down there?
Yeah, because I was in the house at this point, so they took the food back. They didn't leave it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, either way.
But you're in a house. I mean, you're not in an apartment.
I was depressed.
Yeah, you're not in an apartment.
What if somebody, you see you're living in an apartment building, and you watch somebody bring in a ping pong table? Okay.
Let's make this realistic.
You watch this person bring in a ping pong table. Let's just say he wins it on a game show. Okay.
For example.
Yeah. All right. And he doesn't unpack the ping pong table and leaves it boxed up
in the hallway
for 2 years. Would you be able to take it?
So that means you're coming into my crib.
No, or at least say, you know, call some authority to say, hey, you're clearly not going to use it.
You don't know that.
I mean, it's 2 years.
I mean, it's like, 2 years.
If you come in the crib, then there's a whole another set of circumstances you've got to deal with. So I don't recommend that. Also, here's the deal. Let's be honest. I didn't get rid of the ping pong table yet because I thought, what if my situation changes at some point? Maybe I'll get a house. Maybe I'll move.
Okay, yeah.
Like, sure. Those things play into play.
It's funny how you just leave it boxed up, and I'm like, let's have it here in studio. And you're like, yeah, for how much?
Well, yeah, your first mention was buying it.
Oh.
And then when I brought it up, you're like, no, we want a pool table.
So, I just want to
how about this? Facts. If I guess the actual retail price of it within $100, do I get it?
No, that's not
how this works.
Yeah,
that's a fun game.
All right, I might hit
the Powerball, Rich. I get a house. Now I got a ping pong table.
Understood.
Okay,
makes
you
sense.
You could buy a ping pong table.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But I wouldn't need.
Hey, listen, we were just talking about something that is left unclaimed by somebody in your neighborhood, your building, yeah, right?
I don't like
and,
that.
And you just maybe think about taking it because it's left out there for too long. What if that item left out too long, unclaimed by somebody in your neighborhood is one of the best running backs in the National Football
League? That's a whole
just for instance, your neighborhood's the NFC East.
That's okay.
And your neighborhood's the Amtrak corridor between New York metropolitan area and Philadelphia. That's your neighborhood.
That's all.
And somebody in that area has a very, very valuable running back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who's originally from your area.
Okay, yeah.
Your general area. And it's just left unclaimed. Just say, go ahead and take it. They fall asleep. Leave it out there in the NFC East lobby.
And they didn't put a note on his shirt or anything?
No, nothing.
Okay.
You just take that guy. The answer is yes. You do.
That's a different story.
Listen, we talk about storylines in the spring and then in the summer and how great it's going to be in the fall. And it sometimes is overhyping. But man, oh man, oh man, when the Philadelphia Eagles take on the New York Giants this year, let's just say.
What do we got?
I'm going to look it up right now. I should have had it ready. But here it is. I'll put on my glasses. Here it comes. My eyes see. The Giants, the Giants hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, week 7, October 20th. Just a plain old 1 o'clock Eastern game on Fox. Is that not America's game of the week?
Is that a Tom Brady game?
They're going to leave it unclaimed in the lobby of America's games. Is that what you're saying?
It's part of just America's games. It's not the game of
it's week. Part of it. It's just not, do you just claim it as America's game? By the way, that's what Fox does, right? They just claim the game. Well, it's America's game.
It's a doubleheader week.
The rest of America.
It's a doubleheader week.
Can say,
I even
maybe
have special
not.
Music I play.
At any rate, there it is. When that day happens, when that game happens, oh, man, we got to hope Saquon is healthy. We got to hope the Giants are off to a good start, right? Or I guess it doesn't matter how the Giants are, right?
No, it doesn't matter.
But Saquon's coming into MetLife October 20th. And Nick Sirianni talking about how Saquon looks in practice right now. And you could just tell how giddy this man is. He's good. I mean, honestly, we've seen how this running game has worked in the Sirianni era, if you will, if we can call it that, in the brief amount of time with the legion of running backs that he has thrown out there. But not one of them, with all due respect to all of them that have run very well and successfully in this system, none of them are Saquon Barkley. Now you're putting Saquon with a chip on his shoulder and his quads, because you can place chips on those too. Coming in, this is what he had to say about Saquon, what he looks like in practice.
Yeah, of course. Man, Saquon, it's really nice to see him in green. And I know, it's really nice to see him there. Like we missed the tackle on him the other day on the sideline. Now we're not tackling, but you can tell without pads on, you can tell if that guy made the tackle or not. And I had visions back of like him on the sideline and us watching all these plays on the sideline of Saquon making somebody miss and Saquon making somebody miss and doing it again. It was like, it brought me back to that. And like, man, I'm glad that I wasn't happy that our defensive player missed the tackle on this particular one, but I'm really happy that Saquon, that number 26, is on our side making the guy miss. Sometimes you see Giants fans around here with the, being so close. They give me a good, like, hey, go Giants. And I typically let it go. But if the guy gets me good enough, I usually say, got your best player.
Got your best player.
Got him.
By the way, got to be honest. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. They got the Giants' best player. With the ultimate of respect to everybody else on the Giants roster, he is not wrong. They got their best player. They got their community guy. They got their Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate. They got their guy. The guy that they were building around. The guy that they drafted second overall. The guy that did have an outstanding game in Daniel Jones' best game of his career in Minnesota in that wild card game before the Eagles curb stomped them out of the playoffs. Ended Saquon's best run as a Giant. And the Giants, for some reason, just didn't put the amount of money on the table required to keep him. And we will see how they go ahead and try and win football games without him. And we will see how the Giants respond on that side of the football. We will see if Devin Singletary, coming off of his best year of his career in Houston, can fill the role. And he will have that chip on his shoulder. But if you take all the chips on all the shoulders of Devin Singletary and Saquon Barkley, none of them compared to the one that's on Nick Sirianni's shoulder when he's feeling it. And on that day, week 7, in New Jersey, if the Giants fans dare to even breathe in that man's direction and Saquon does what Saquon is hoping to do,
he's going to get 40 touches in that game.
Honestly. Honestly. He will need Dom's help, I think. Based on whatever's coming out of his mouth in the direction of the stands. OMG. I cannot wait for that day. It is set up. So is Albert Breer. Let's take a break. Our friend from Sports Illustrated, Bria, let's check on how tan he is in June. And then June keep it in comparison to how tan he'll be in July.
Celebrity tan.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I don't know if you saw, but Harbaugh said, you know, that Jim Harbaugh said that the Chargers had an advantage because of how hard they've worked out in the offseason. I don't know if that's a reference to the strength coach that he brought from Michigan or what have you, but it's just great to just see him talking and representing the Chargers. That to me, they're going to have a fullback, and I don't even know what the hell they're going to look like. I mean, you have any sense of what the Los Angeles Chargers are going to look like when they kick off against the Raiders, a great week one game later this fall?
I think they're going to look a lot like all of Jim Harbaugh's teams. And I think I've used this line with you before, and I know you're buddies with Joel Klatt as well. And, I'll steal the line I heard Joel use a couple times, which was, and he may have used it on your show, I'm not sure, but, you know, people have gotten really obsessed with making Justin Herbert better on second 11, and Jim Harbaugh is going to get him in second and five, you know?
Right.
And, I just think there's such, I don't know if there's any other coach, at least in my time covering the league, where what he does is so identifiable and so transferable, and has gone everywhere with him, everywhere he's gone with him. And from Stanford to San Francisco to Michigan, and now presumably to the Chargers, it has looked the same. And it is an ability to run the ball. It's a certain dominance at the line of scrimmage. It's having stars on the lines of scrimmage, your tackles, your edge rushers, your interior guys. It's having smart players everywhere. It's making your quarterback better by asking less of him. You know, I think that that's really what it is. And that, you know, I think the tendency a lot of times with young quarterbacks is once they show promise, it's like, okay, like let's put more on their shoulders and let's ask more of them. And I think that that's where sometimes these things fail. Where what I think the genius of what Jim Harbaugh does is he's asking less of the quarterback. He's showing the quarterback, you got a team around you, and we're going to support you, and we're not going to put the world on your shoulders, and we're going to incrementally ask a little more of you, but we're not going to do it all at once, you know? And, I think what we'll see from Jim Harbaugh is something that looks a lot like what we saw at Michigan, a lot like what we saw at San Francisco, a lot like what we saw at Stanford. And, I think the cool thing about it, again, is that he's kind of letting us into his world a little bit more than he used to, which I had actually heard, and I'm sure you heard this too, Rich, like when they had the disastrous COVID season in 2020, and he brought in all the young assistants and, the Ravens staff to go get Mike McDonald. One of the things I remember hearing back then was that, like, a lot of, like, the people that came into the Michigan building then got him to lighten up a little bit and got him to, I think kind of let people in a little bit more. And, you know, maybe we're all the beneficiaries of it now and getting to see a lot of what the Chargers are doing as it's happening.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, the fact that I'm sitting here and asking, what are the Jim Harbaugh Chargers going to look like, I think is based on the fact of the moves that were made in the first few weeks of his arrival there,
right,
based on the cap realities of the team that he inherited. I think when he took the gig, general sense was, yes, there's going to be some harsh realities cap-wise that are coming and things of that nature. But I think the general sense was, I can't wait to see what Jim looks like with the Charger team that we've seen the last couple of years, as opposed to the reconfiguration of it.
Yeah.
So that's my wind up for this question.
Yeah.
Which is the team that you've heard from your sources and people and just chit chatting and just talking ball as you do all the time? Which is the team that there's a consensus that, man, they hit every button properly, from either they changed their coaches or they changed their roster or they reconfigured this or made that, like, which team has hit on every cylinder in the mind's eye of everybody? And that team can make some hay this fall.
This offseason, you're saying?
Yes,
like,
sir.
Just specifically, like, boiling it down to this offseason, I would give you the Texans. I just think it's having everything at in a spot where you can aggressively take advantage of the window that you're in when you have your quarterback on a rookie contract and your quarterback's playing at a really high level. We don't need to go over what CJ looked like last year. Everybody saw that. You know, I just like look at some of the moves they've made, both internally and externally, that really set them up. You know, signing Nico Collins long term, like now CJ Stroud knows he's got Nico with him and Tank Dell with him for the next few years. You know, and then you go outside the organization and you see some of the things that they were able to do. You know, like the ability to go in and say, okay, we're going to bring in a Stephon Diggs, a guy who's had experience being a number one guy, right? And we're going to go in and we're going to bring in a Danielle Hunter as we lose Jonathan Greenard. And Jonathan Greenard was a really good player, but Danielle Hunter's been a number one. And I think there was a subtlety to that that a lot of football people noticed, right? Which is you're bringing in guys who have experience being the guy, even Joe Mixon, you know, coming from Cincinnati. Like those guys have had the pressure and the attention of being the number one guy before, right? So, you know, like what is Nico Collins and Tank Dell going to get from Stephon Diggs? They're going to get to see a guy who's been the number one guy, and it's going to take some pressure off of them. Same thing with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, right? Like on the defensive line. And so, you know, I just think the Texans have sort of set themselves up where they're able to take advantage of the next 2 to 3 years. And obviously the realities change as you pay your quarterback and everything else, but they're in that window, you know, where for the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to be able to build really aggressively. And they took full advantage of being in that window the way they handled the offseason.
We're also in that portion of the non-playing season where contracts get done and place and then obviously have ripple effects throughout the entire league. And Justin Jefferson's contract clearly is that. And I want to talk about two teams that places now right in the middle of this pond of the ripple effect. And one is the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. What is going on there? Why aren't the Cowboys more active in getting something done right away instead of letting the market reset itself multiple times over, from A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown to now Justin Jefferson?
Doesn't make any sense, right?
No. Like,
and it's not just CD either, by the way, Rich. It's also Micah Parsons, because Justin Jefferson didn't just reset the receiver market. He reset the market for non-quarterbacks and beating out Nick Bosa and getting to $35 million, where Nick was at 34. You know, now Micah Parsons' ask is going to be to leapfrog Justin Jefferson, which, you know, if you're Micah Parsons now, do you ask for $40 million per? I think you'd be well within your rights to do that. And CeeDee Lamb, like, may not be the receiver Justin Jefferson is, but he had a borderline historic year last year. What was it, 135 catches and 1,700 yards? Just insane, right?
Well, he definitely has ability to stake claim to saying he should beat Justin Jefferson's contract, Albert. He definitely has that.
You could say that, yeah. I mean, no, like, he hasn't had the consistent, like, you know, like, he hasn't done it 4 years in a row the way Justin Jefferson's like sort of in a class by himself as far as how he's produced over the first 4 years. But yeah, I mean, where CeeDee Lamb is right now and where he was last year, you know, certainly you could say he's in that class. And so, you know, now you're talking about an outlay of what, like 70, 75 million per year between the two of those guys. And you haven't even gotten to the fact that your quarterback's in a contract year. And, you know, you connect that to the comment that Jerry Jones made at the start of the offseason, all in. This is an amazing fact. I was trying to kind of, because nobody would argue the Cowboys have been a bad franchise for the last 15 years, right? Nobody would argue that. So I sort of thought through this over the last 2 days, and I want to look something up that kind of would encapsulate it. This is an amazing fact that I was able to figure out, right? So since 2007, right, which is when was Wade Phillips' first year in Dallas, the Cowboys are number 6 in wins in the NFL, okay? They're ahead of the Eagles. They're ahead of the Chiefs. They're ahead of, like, some big-time teams, right? So over the last 17 seasons, they are 6th in the NFL in wins. And they have the 4th longest conference championship game drought. And the only teams that have longer droughts than them, that haven't been in the conference championship game in a longer period of time, the NFL's Final Four, are the Dolphins, Commanders, and Lions. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, think about that. You have the 6th most wins, yet you have the 4th longest drought not having been in the Final Four. So what does that tell you about where they are? They've been close. They've had teams that can compete on that level. But are they striking when the iron's hot? And, you know, they ran into this with Zach Martin, where they had to pay a tax on him because they waited on him. And they ran into this with DeMarcus Lawrence. And certainly the last time around, they ran into this with Dak Prescott. And I just can't wrap my head around why they aren't, why they haven't been more aggressive with these teams, especially when there's a team right there in their division. And we've talked about this, Rich, with the Eagles, how the Eagles have gotten ahead consistently of the market on so many players, and they've been able to keep teams together as a result of it. So I don't know what's going to happen with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons over the next 2 or 3 months, and Dak Prescott past that. But, you know, I certainly know, like, the ship sailed now as far as being aggressive, you know, like, because that market has shifted, and Justin Jefferson getting paid was sort of the big piece. And, you know, you wait a little bit longer than Ja'Marr Chase is going to get paid. And you don't think Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are cahoots on the contract situation, then you don't know their relationship. You know, Ja'Marr Chase probably gets $36, $37 million a year.
That was my other team to mention to you, is how does this affect the Bengals with T. Higgins sitting there on a franchise tag saying, yeah, I want out. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is first in line to get paid there, with all due respect to T. Higgins, who can probably sit here and say, hey, you send me to another team and I'm getting in the neighborhood of at least what Jaden, you know, what Waddle's making and what, right, you know, Devontae least, Smith is asking for. Like, he can get in that neighborhood. But the Bengals do have that hammer of being able to say, hey, I've got you on a franchise tag. Let me deal with Ja'Marr Chase. Let's all win a Super Bowl this year.
So I think, like, so at the beginning of the offseason, Rich, like, I think we all had, like, a T. Higgins trade on our radar, right? Like, the same way we had, like, maybe an Ayuk trade on our radar. Like, that, just one of those things where you look at the way the team's set up and you're like, okay, like, maybe this is at least going to elicit some phone calls from some teams to the Bengals to see if they can pry T. Higgins free. And right around the combine, I talked to somebody pretty high up in Cincinnati who basically made the point to me, no, we're going for it this year.
Yeah.
Like, we are really all in on trying to win a Super Bowl this year. And we're going to do what it takes. We're going to do everything we need to do to try to win a Super Bowl. And we want T. Higgins to be a part of that. He's an important part of it, right? Like, I think they probably feel the same way about Trey Hendrickson, who, you know, rattled cages about his contract, you know, a few weeks back because of where the edge rusher market has gone. So, you know, I think the road here for them is that it'd be really, really difficult to have Burrow and Chase and Higgins together, right? Like, for the next 5 years, that would probably cost you, if you add all of it up, what, like $110 million at least, maybe more than that, maybe $120 million per year to have all three of those guys who all play in one phase of the game together. So if the reality is that, you know, you're going to be leaning on guys like Jermaine Burton, their third round pick, coming up to replace Higgins, and you're going to want to try to re-sign Chase, I think, you know, the move right now would be, what can we do to make T. Higgins happy this year? And can we put a sweetener in his contract? Is there something that we can do to make him whole this year? And, you know, like, I think that's probably the route they go. And I think that maybe you do that before you sign Chase and you say, okay, like, we're going to give T. Higgins something that's going to entice him to come in and be all in with us for this year. And maybe it means you promise you don't franchise him this year, in 2025, right? Maybe mm-hmm. that's what it takes. But you do something to get him in, and then you sign Chase. And now you've got kind of full Voltron on that side of the ball. But it's a tricky situation, certainly. And I do think, like, ultimately, you know, the end result of all of this is that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are together long term, and T. Higgins is probably somewhere else in 2025.
Right. But if you can try and, you know, as you say, full Voltron, go into the season one last time, you know, with mm-hmm. Higgins and Chase and Burrow, you can. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And that does bring me to the 49ers and what their situation yeah. is with Ayuk, now that Jefferson's been paid and these other ones are out there, as we mentioned, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb, and what Brandon Ayuk is looking for. And, you know, that's why, you know, it made no sense. Let's trade Ayuk before the draft. You got Debo here. And if Ayuk goes and makes a big deal, then maybe Debo goes. Like, why wouldn't the Niners go full Voltron with the kid they drafted out of Florida in the first round and say, yep. let's try and win one currently right now, knowing that this is the last season they're probably going to have Purdy on the deal that they have him on, you know, like, so, or that day is coming. So
yep.
why would the Niners trade anybody between now and the season?
Well, I mean, like, I do think, they've done such a good job drafting and developing. They've been dealing with over the last five years or so, like this just bottleneck of contracts at the top of their books, right? Like, so it's, I think, sort of similar to what they were facing. I think it was 4 years ago now, where they had DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead, who brought a lot of the same things to the table, were both excellent players, and they viewed Eric Armstead as being more signable, right? Like, so they do a long-term deal for Eric Armstead, and as much as they hated to do it because he's a great, great player, they trade DeForest Buckner, who is a captain for them, who does all the right things, because they could get value back for him. So I think that's sort of the way they view this. I think given their druthers, this is just me talking.
Yep.
I think they would keep Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel. And I think it's because Brandon Ayuk is more of a traditional number one receiver who can beat man coverage, who you can build an offense around. Deebo Samuel is great. He can do a million different things, right? But at this point, is he a little bit more of a luxury? And I wouldn't ignore getting Christian McCaffrey out of the way too, getting that taken care of, because that was hovering over them. Not a lot of people know this, but that's been hovering over them for months now. Like the McCaffrey, based on where, you know, pay for skill players has gone, wanted a little bump. He's got his, that's taken care of now. So, you know, I think they try like hell to re-sign Brandon Ayuk in the coming weeks and see if they can find some sort of middle ground. And obviously the price tag on that has gone up. And Brandon Ayuk is going to benefit from having waited. And if they can get something done, great. Then I think they get some phone calls on Deebo. And if the phone calls come in on Deebo, there's something they really love out there, fine. If not, they wait a year and trade him after the year. I don't think both those guys are going to be on the team long term. But I do think that their futures with the Niners are relative to one another, and really kind of center on the way the Ayuk contract negotiation goes. But I do think that, like, if it were up to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, ideally, I think they'd like to have Ayuk on their roster long term. And if that means trading Deebo, then I think that they'd be okay with that.
Even in the season, right? I mean, unless Deebo makes it uncomfortable. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, go for it this year. Like, this is, why would you break up any of your top talent?
I think it depends on what you can get for him, though.
If you can figure it into the cap, really? I mean,
I think it does depend on what you can get for him, though. Like, if somebody's offering a first round pick for him, you know, now you're talking about something a little bit different, right? Like, if the Jets were to offer a first round pick for Deebo, who obviously knows Robert Saleh, you know, would you, and that is the Jets going all in on it, like, if you're the Niners, you look at it and say, okay, like, well, we've got Ricky Pearsall here. We have Juwan Jennings coming back. He's signed.
He was terrific. He could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Right. And who has a chance to be a good player. And I think that was a savvy move by the Niners to hold on to him.
Right.
And now you have Ayuk as a true number one. And, oh, by the way, you got to factor George Kittle in this equation. I know he's gotten older, but he's still a really good player. And Travis Kelce has shown us how tight ends can last. I think that there is a scenario where somebody could pry Deebo Samuel from the Niners. Again, that's just my opinion.
Sure.
But if somebody comes along and offers a first round pick and you're the Niners, right? And again, you're dealing with this perpetual bottleneck of contracts that's only going to get worse after Brock Purdy gets paid, and you're getting offered a first round pick. Part of the equation has to be, that means we can get a really good player on our roster at cost control, you know, for 4 or 5 years. And that'll help us manage the numbers at the top of our cap sheets. So I think, you know, it's a complex situation that I think could go a number of different ways. And, you know, certainly if I'm a team like the Jets and I see Brandon Ayuk has been re-signed to a contract at whatever, $30 million per year, you know, I'm probably picking up the phone and calling John Lynch.
Last one for you, Albert Breer. I'd like you to interpret this exchange between Tua Tagovailoa and reporters trying to help Tua discover the proper adjective to term his mental state and also feelings towards his contract negotiations. This happened on Tuesday.
Frustrated where things stand right now?
Not frustrated. I'm another word, but yeah. agitated, annoyed, bothered?
How about that pause? just wanted to get something done. That's it. Just wanted to get something done.
What was your reaction to seeing Jalen? Or go ahead, Al.
Concerned, is that?
Not concerned. Concern's not the right word. That's way off from the word.
Antsy, maybe?
Probably antsy. Yeah. I wouldn't say pissed off. I mean, this is the nature of the beast, right? This is how it goes.
Searching for the adjective, we came up with the phrase "the two authors." Trying to find the right word in the two authors. What's your interpretation of that, Albert?
My interpretation is it's a guy who's been through a lot, and if you know, we're gonna have some empathy for him. We got to remember where he was. What was it, a year and a half ago? You know, and then going through the concussion things, and then you go back and you look at the way his college career ended with a major, major hip injury. The kid has been through a lot to get here, you know, and whether they want to admit it or not, you know, for every NFL player, for every guy who's drafted in the first round, the holy grail is that second contract. And Tua has been eligible for over a year now. And, you know, if you were him and you put yourself in his shoes, and again, thinking with some empathy here, and you see Jared Goff get paid and you see Kirk Cousins get what he got, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, I've done enough to warrant this organization going all in on me. And, you know, where is that number? Like, that's, you know, a fair question to ask. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're him, you're probably a little antsy because of everything you've been through. And you're probably a little antsy because you want the peace of mind and you want to be able to buckle your chin strap and go into practice and be all in with the group that you've built with, you know, because they've had a promising first 2 years under Mike McDaniel and he's got a good group around him and they're only going to get so many more shots at it. So you can see where there'd be a lot. I think the best way to put it is there'd be a lot going through to his head right now. And, you know, as he seeks that peace of mind that every player would like to have going into the summer.
I guess is it fair to interpret the Dolphins want the number to start annually with a 4 and he wants a 5? Is that where we're at, or what is it?
Yeah, I think his camp has been looking for a number starting with a 5 for a while, and whether or not they get there, we'll see. I can say with some authority that, you know, he has the same agency as Daniel Jones. And I just tell you, like, when they did the DJ deal, I know there was some feeling with some people over there that even then, and that was before he had the great year he had last year, right? Like, that Tua was going to be in line to get something in the 50s. And so, you know, we'll see if he gets there or not.
Albert, thanks for the time, brother. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Rich.
That's Albert Breer, Albert Breer, getting ready to watch the Celtics locally, try and bring the title
there. I got to work on my tan some, too. We got some work to do.
Get on out there, Albert. Get on out there. Stop staying indoors. That's Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. All right. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We'll take your calls. Hour number 3, wide open just for all of us. My power rankings still to come. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Weber Searwood Pellet Grill, folks. Fire it up and fire up the party. Get that Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on the smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way up to the high heat sear at 600. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame and food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot and 15 minutes cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. They have set a first for the Cleveland Browns in their new iteration. What do I mean by that? Well, the head coach and the executive vice president and general manager just got their contracts extended. Would you believe this is the first time the Cleveland Browns have extended a regime's contracts? And by regime, I mean general manager and coach together, kept them together. It is the first time they have extended a regime, a front office regime's contract, along with the head coach contract, since returning to action in 1999. They have not done it. Ooh. They have not kept a GM coach in place through a first contract into a second one until this very moment.
That would explain a lot. Continuity matters.
Continuity in Cleveland. Words that haven't gone together for the football team. It has happened. And, you know, the reigning coach of the year and one of the best at putting a team together, the Cleveland Browns, you know, somebody called Flacco from the couch and said, what do you think? For instance.
True.
And all the running backs that expertly filled in for the injured Nick Chubb, who's looking good on a golf course right now. He showed up at a golf outing. They're all hoping that he's no hitching his giddy up out there. So congratulations to those two. How about that? And that's how we bring in Tom and Canton on the Rich Eisen Show, although I'm told it's not the same Tom and Canton that called in previous shows this week. What's up, Tom?
Not much. How you doing, Rich?
What do you want to do, Tom?
Well, I wanted to do the win-loss record with the Browns, but first of all, I wanted to make a comment with the Caden Clark incident.
Okay. What do you got?
I don't understand why that coach doesn't tell the rest of the team that they need to protect her. And they just sit over there and watch these people hammer her. And they should have somebody out there giving the same stuff right back to teach them that you don't mess with our players. We ain't going to take it no more.
That's an interesting point. Maybe they are counseling that. Didn't you have a fix for that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, a fix in the form of a 6'8" Liz Cambage, a former WNBA star who left the league. She went overseas. She was working on her modeling. If you watch some of the videos, she has no problem putting the paws on people.
Okay, so she can be hired to do exactly that.
Look, get her before someone else gets her.
Got
and
it.
And then you got to deal with that, too.
All right, I've got 2 minutes left in this segment. Give me some music for Tom and Canton. This is the first. We have not had a win-loss game played by a Cleveland Brown fan yet, at least not in my book right here. First up, home for the Dallas Cowboys, Tom.
They're pretty good at home, so I'm going to pick a win.
Aha. Uh-huh. At the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I still think they're going to win that one.
2-0 home for the Giants.
Like I said, they're good at home.
3-0 at the Raiders.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the loss on that one.
3-1 at the Commanders.
that's kind of a hard one to pick, but I'm going to go with a win.
4-1 at the Eagles.
Loss.
4-2 home for the Bengals. I know you couldn't count that a win because you beat the Bengals and Joe Burrow, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to go with the split when we get all those teams there, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
5-2 home for the Ravens.
Home game win.
6-2 home for the Chargers.
Once again, a win.
7-2 off the bye at the Saints.
at the Saints, so I'm going to pick a loss there.
7-3, home for the Steelers, short week. 7-3, we got to go a little faster here. Home for the Steelers on a Thursday night.
When?
At the Broncos on a Monday night.
Loss.
8-4 at the Steelers.
Loss.
8-5, home for the Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the win. It's a home game.
9-5 at the Bengals on a Thursday night.
Loss.
9-6, home for the Dolphins.
Win.
And then at the Ravens.
Loss.
10-7, Tom and Canton. I think they're going to do better than 10-7. I'll be straight up with you, I think. But there you have it. Hour number three, the best case scenarios for AFC North teams. And C.J. Stroud is chiming in on other people's careers. That didn't take long. Hour three coming up.
So while you were gone, Rich, we had a Ted in Greenville did the Browns.
Oh, yeah, because Sue's did a whole ton of them.
We did a bunch of them.
What did Ted in Greenville?
He had 11-6.
I think that's more in line. I think the Browns have a chance to win the division.
I think they all do.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Wait till you hear my best case scenarios for all four teams.
As of today, they do.
I think.
And then, of course, my power rankings. My way too soon June power rankings.
Well, that's not how you titled them at the beginning of the show.
What did I say?
What was it? It was a dumb.
Well, dumb. I said it's dumb. Dumbass. Who does power rankings on June 5th?
Why? What else?
I'm sure I could type it in the old Google and find several sites have.
I bet you not.
Let's see.
You don't want to bet June on that, Rich. NFL you can't bet on power anything. Rankings. That's the thing.
Canton, Ohio, saying the Browns are going 10-7.
Ooh, that's respectable.
Okay.
Double-digit wins? Come on.
Yeah, I think Browns fans are thinking Deshaun Watson is going to have a full year of being healthy and Stefanski's offense is that good, and we'll see what happens. I think Browns fans are thinking a little bit better than 10-7.
Yeah, I would say 11-6, 12-5.
I think so.
Browns fans should be pretty excited.
Why not?
Yeah.
If Flacco can go from the couch to comeback player of the year in 6 weeks in this system, why can't Deshaun Watson have an MVP season?
I gotta be honest, every time I hear a comeback player of the year, I think of Deion's hair. Every single
That's
time.
Right. He says that all the time.
Game worries me if I'm a Browns fan.
Why would it? No, I'd be the exact opposite. I would if I'm a Dallas fan.
Oh, here you go.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.